Back on Peerless Tire Sports Sanity here on 580 WWW, we're pleased to have a guest in studio today, Alan Gompers. He is the author of a book called Maximum Security, The True Meaning of Freedom. Alan, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here, Bruce.
Well, we're going to find out what the true meaning of freedom is, but your background really is in boxing and training and promoting and all those kind of things. Just kind of tell us a little bit about who Alan Gompers is.
Well, you know, I grew up as an athlete. It was something, you know, I grew up in the Bronx, and you were defined by your environment, by how good a ball player you were. And the game was basketball. Growing up, it was, you know, your jump shot was more important than your person, you know. And, you know, being accepted and getting recognized by friends and being part of the world of your age was about how good an athlete you were, how good a ball player you were. So that was my initiation. And I, you know, so taking care of my body and being really interested in sports was to me, you know, as normal as breathing.
So how good a player were you?
I put out enough energy to get a result. I really wasn't committed as much as I should have been or would have liked to have been because I was too insecure and unhappy in my own life. So basketball was a means. I used it almost like you use another person. It was a manipulation. It was a way of getting attention. It was a way of fitting in. You know, the better you were, the more attention you got, the more you fit in. And I really didn't give the sport the honor and the respect that, you know, you hear some of these athletes talk about it today. Some of these NBA players talk about the love of the game. Michael Jordan wrote a book for the love of the game. Mm-hmm. Because it was more important to him to honor that than it was almost to be an NBA player.
Our guest again is Alan Gompers. He is the author of Maximum Security, The True Meaning of Freedom, and we'll talk about the book here in a bit. But to your boxing background and maybe what took you on life's wildest ride, how did you get involved in the sport of boxing?
Well, I always, for some reason, had an interest in fighting. Not that I was a fighter myself, although I fooled around with it, but I never really got into it. Mm-hmm. But the athleticism and the commitment and the training and the courage was almost vicarious for me because was watching a great fighter. It was kind of like inspiring to me. You know, I've always been inspired by great anything. But fighters kind of epitomized it for me and you know, of Muhammad Ali was somebody that I always, you know, I just loved the way he handled himself and the way he handled the media and the way he handled himself in the ring and how fearless he was on the outside, at least.
Sure.
And some of the athleticism of some of the great fighters always was inspiring to me. So I got a chance one day when I became a physical education teacher at one point in my life in high school. And I started coaching various sports, and one of the kids in my high school gym class, I was one of the white kids in the school, you know, that could beat the some of the black players, you know, who were at that time, you know, the city game was mostly the black players, and they were great athletes and great players, and very few white players really got any notoriety. And the championships were always with the teams that had like five black players on the team. And at any rate, I was a kid that could beat a lot of the kids who were really considered good ball players. And he became somebody who kind of looked up to me. And I met him 10 years after we graduated in the Westchester County Center in New York, which was a boxing hall with Charlie Caserta. I don't know if the name rings a bell to you.
Charlie Caserta. No, not off the top of my head.
Requiem for a Heavyweight.
Okay, yes.
He was the corner man for Jackie Gleason in that movie and Anthony Quinn.
Right.
And he had 53 Golden Glove champions, and he managed a lot of great world champion fighters. And he was the corner man in Rocky, that character. Mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. was him. He was 80 years old with a cigar that was too big for his face. Brown drool all over him. I mean, it was hardly discernible, but he was a lovable character. Everybody in boxing knew him. And I went over there with this kid that my friend knew from Harlem. His name was Marvin Jenkins. He had beaten Sugar Ray Leonard in the amateurs. And he kept him out of the Olympics his first time he tried out for him. And later turned pro and won his first few fights. And I wound up getting the contract to manage him with my friend who knew him. And we were off and running. We went to the county center. Charlie Caserta got him fights at the county center. He became the headliner. And after a while, he became number 11 in the world, according to Ring Magazine. And, Bruce, I will tell you, in my opinion, the greatest division ever in boxing history. It had five or six of the greatest welterweight fighters of all time, Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Tommy Hearns, Carlos Palomino, and the list goes on. And I got busted for drugs. I had a restaurant at the time, and I was an entrepreneur on one level, and a depressed, lonely, frightened being inside, and I didn't know how to find myself. And so I did a lot of things that were great, and I did a lot of things that were not so great. And I paid the price for that, and I wound up at the time that Gil Clancy had offered him a title fight with Fireball Rodriguez, coming home one night and getting surrounded by the police, and about 20 of them showed up with guns and threw me down on the hood of a police car and said, "You are in more trouble than you've ever been in your whole life."
And so was that the – again, we're talking with Alan Gompers. He is the author of Maximum Security, The True Meaning of Freedom. Was that the defining moment, or did it take time behind bars that changed things for you?
That is the ultimate question, and that is really the essence of this. To sum it all up, I went through the first 40 years of my life living in a complete dichotomy. The inside of me was dying. The outside of me was screaming with success. It was people who knew me on the outside couldn't conceive of anything because I hit it so well.
So you were one persona out there in the public. When you went to your apartment or your home, you were the other guy.
Right. And I didn't want anybody to find out. I was always afraid somebody would find out, what I was really feeling inside. So I learned how to be a manipulator, how to disguise it. And I used the energy, the fear itself, to propel myself out there to, to be successful and try to find ways to off of these horrible feelings that I had inside. And when I got busted, what happened was I had reached about as low as you could go. I was taken to my knees. And everything I had in my life, Bruce, was taken away from me. My wife wound up with another man. My business collapsed. My money was almost gone. Children and family and friends felt like from another lifetime. And the only thing I had left were the fears and the loneliness. I wound up in the prison yard the next day for the first time in my life with 2,000 inmates, most of them lifers, scared to death. And I wound up in a corner of the prison yard just trying to get away from everything and everyone as best as I could. And somehow my eyes closed, my legs crossed, and I found myself in a profound state of meditation. The thing was, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I didn't know what meditation was. I didn't know why this was all happening. It just happened spontaneously. But when I opened my eyes again, my life has never been the same since.
He is Alan Gompers. He is the author of Maximum Security, The True Meaning of Freedom. So, I don't know, as you look back on it, was it those two forms of personality meeting and coming together instead of having to be two separate people right there at that moment? You became one. You became maybe whole again?
Well, that's part of what I felt. I mean, I was sitting there on the ground looking out, and there were the gun towers. There was the wall. And I'm sitting there and realizing that my wife, who we had just renewed our vows before I got busted after 10 years with another man, I'm sitting there with a 15-to-life sentence and maybe never getting out of prison ever again in my whole life, feeling happier and more at peace than I'd ever known. And I had no idea how to explain it, but I remember just saying to myself, my God, if there is a God out there and you can hear my voice, if you can just show me how to hold on to this, these exquisite feelings, I'll never ask for anything else in my whole life ever again. And I got back to my cell, and a guy on my block, 36 lifers, walks up. He pushes a book through the window of my the opening in my cell and says, "Hey, man, I saw you out in the yard. I know what you were doing. Check this out." And he hands me a book, and it's got the picture of a meditation master from India on it. And he hands me the book, my knees buckle. And I nearly fell flat on my face. But when I opened the book and started to read inside, I am telling you, I have never, ever read anything so powerful, so wise, and so filled with what I perceived. I just knew it was the truth. And what he was saying was that there is a place inside of all of us, everything, every living being, which knows no fear, which is never lonely or unhappy, and is filled with a sense of contentment and happiness beyond anything you would ever know, and it is a part of you that is forever. And when I read that, I mean, I had heard about heaven and the immortal soul and all kinds of stuff growing up. And all I felt was loneliness and pain my whole life, so I never bought into any of it. And when I read that, what he said was, the world and everything in it has no power over you. You have to give it away. You have to choose to give it away. And what I realized was, I went back to that moment in the prison yard where I'm sitting there, facing the wall, the gun towers, the 15 to life sentence, and all that had come down on me. And he said, the world has no power over you, and I didn't realize it was true. Because I was feeling happy, in spite of all of the chaos, all of the horror, all of the terror. And I knew for the first time in my life that I had found a sense of freedom that I never even knew existed.
He's Alan Gompers. He is the author of Maximum Security, The True Meaning of Freedom. It's a Peerless Tire Sports Sanity here on 580 WIBW. So how do you get from facing the wall, dealing with this incredible inner sense of peace, gun towers and barbed wire, to writing a book and sitting before me today and being able to share your experience and hopefully maybe change somebody else's life?
Well, you know, I had 15 to life. After a couple of years, I wound up getting commuted by the governor of state of New York. And an interesting part of that was that when I got back to my cell after I got the executive clemency, it was reduced to 6 to life. And on my way back, I was afraid that I was going to be released, and I didn't want to go. And it wasn't the physical prison that I was after, because the sentence that I had was no longer a sentence to me, because time had become so precious that I wanted more time to develop this inner connection to myself, because it's my own self that was really an issue here. It wasn't some cosmic evolution into some other world. It was a connection to the deepest part of me. For the first time, I was a whole person. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, oh my God, I got 3.5 more years. And all I could feel was gratitude. Now, I never would have repeated that to anybody. They would have thrown a net over me. But that's exactly how I felt. And I remember in that moment, Bruce, turning around. That's the view. Your listeners can't see it, but that was pretty much what my view looked. I could see the mountains. And I'm sitting there.
Now, what prison was this?
It was Eastern New York Correctional Facility.
But you could actually see that view outside your prison walls.
That's one of the blessings that were given to me. I actually had a magnificent view through the bars. But as I sat there feeling so grateful, there was this inner part of me that a voice that was, usually I was used to listening to my head, which is negativity and fear and all kinds of stuff. I'm connected to a deeper part of me, and the voice was this voice of knowing that said to me, it's not about getting out of prison, Alan. It's about freedom. and you're not there yet. Behind these walls is where you need to be at this time, because it is behind the walls that you can hear my voice. Now, I don't know what that was, but that's what I heard inside. And I knew that it was true. And I wound up getting out after 5 years instead of six. And as I went around the country and began to speak, people all over the United States and Canada, I've been doing it for 22 years, in prisons and businesses and anywhere. And what has happened is people come up to me and say, you know, that story is just so incredible. You need to write a book so that everybody can get a chance to experience some of the things that changed your life and brings hope and peace and contentment to so many of us out here that don't have it. So that's what was the genesis of me writing this book. And it's been reviewed by some really wonderful people. Roger Bear from the New York Rangers reviewed it, and the endorsement was wonderful. And Arthur Silva, the executive director of Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley on TV and Full House and Married with Children, all these great shows,
right.
He reviewed it and loved it. He said, I love this so much, I'm going to make sure my son reads it. But, you know, it's been one great, endorsement after another, and people have been buying the book now, and I'm on a book signing tour, and it's a whirlwind, and here I am, Bruce.
So are you involved in boxing? What are you involved with now? I mean, what do you do to occupy your time other than going around and speaking and you know, writing books and those kind of things?
Well, that's pretty much where my life is at now. It's, for me, the key thing now is, you know, I've learned one most important thing, that the outer world, you know, it's another thing my teacher so dramatically pointed out, can never give you consistently what you're looking for in your life. And if you continue to look outside of yourself for answers, you're going to come up short every time, he said, because holding success and power and fame and fortune, even your very body and life, in the end, will be taken from you, and the world will betray you. He said, but what you're looking for does exist, and it exists within everyone. And, you know, some of the great beings have said, you know, that the body is the temple of the soul, that God dwells within you. The kingdom of God dwells within you is what Jesus said. The greatest love of all I found within myself, Whitney Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the invocation has been there for centuries, millennia, that what we're looking for is an inside experience, deep inside of us. And when we turn our attention inside, we begin to access the power. Bruce Lee talked about it, that, you know, he was a meditator, and he talked about bringing all the energy and power to one point through meditation. It's been reviewed and used by the greatest beings that ever walked the planet. And just a touch, the first moment they say, that these great masters say, that just touching that place for a moment will change your life forever.
And he can speak to that, and he speaks to it in his book, Maximum Security, The True Meaning of Freedom. It's available at Barnes & Noble, all Amazon.com, all the retailers, and you're out in Kansas City doing book signing tours. But welcome to the area. Thanks for sharing your story, and look forward to maybe catching up with you down the road.
Thanks a lot, Bruce. Great to be here.
Alan Gompers, again, the book is Maximum Security, The True Meaning of Freedom. This is Peerless Tire Sports Sanity on 580 WWW.